Thank you. Verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for evermore. And I love that evermore. Father, would you speak to our hearts tonight? May this time be a special time we come together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says, behold, he cometh. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God is not like a human sentinel. I know back in the wartime, in the Revolutionary War, they actually executed men who fell asleep while they were on sentinel, making sure that everything was that they fell asleep. And it was a very, very, very important thing that they did, because it would put the whole troop into danger if the man that thought that was going to be staying awake and could see anything. In the Civil War, same thing happened. Many men died. Many men their lives were taken from them because they put their brothers in peril. But God is not like a human sentinel, likely to fall asleep at his post. One night I was riding with Sheriff, and I'd had a really busy couple weeks, and I used to ride at 8 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock in the morning, and have great opportunity to talk to these guys about the Lord and their life and what they expected out of life and on. And it was very, very, very amazing the talks we had. I know one time a guy just got back from Saudi Arabia. He pulled. He says, "Chaplain, you don't mind if I want to ask you a couple questions." And he pulled alongside the road over there by Cascade, and for 4 hours, all I did is and grunted a few times, and after 4 hours, he started a vehicle, and he said, "Hey, thanks. I really needed that." I didn't say nothing to it, but. One night I was riding with a he's a sergeant now, and we're just coming up to 3800, we call it. That's where the sheriff's office is, and coming up the deal, I felt like that, and he said, "Hey, chaplain, you sleeping?" Well, the law of the sheriff is that if you sleep in a car, you're fired. That's the way it is. You're fired. And so, of course, I was harassed, and they still once in a while say something to me. You know, they have one job. That's to be a deputy. 12 hours and then they're off. And I come on. I know I'm trying to get excused. Forget it. Anyway. Well, anyway, there is no need for such a prayer as though God gets tired. Where he says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, the herbalist tell us that there is a positive negative. This is not subjective desire, this is objective certainty. Every star, every galaxy, every burning orb in space is the object lesson of sheer physical energy. Take our sun, for instance, as a ball of fire. Astronomers classify it as a moderate star, neither small nor large on the stellar scale. Diameter is 864,000 miles, and it's all gas. 2 billion tons of gas over every square inch of the core that there presses down and crushing weight on a million pounds of matter. The only thing that keeps the sun core from collapsing is energy. Conceivable floods of energy that raise the sun's internal temperature of 25 million degrees Fahrenheit. Brother, that'll burn the hot dog. Amen. Consuming 657 million tons of hydrogen each second. The sun can It can go on burning. I want Mr. What's his name? The energy crazy man. He's the vice president. Al Gore. I want Al Gore to know that it can still keep burning for 50 billion years. That's how much fuel it still has. And that's just a moderate star. The amount of energy being put out by all the suns and stars in space is beyond human comprehension. There's no way we can even understand it. I can't even understand the deal on the sun. A God who has that kind of energy is not likely to need an afternoon nap like I did today. So we can forget the problem of his weariness. And aren't you glad about that? He never slumbers nor sleeps. We humans get tired. I see some of you out here. You're tired tonight. I can just tell it. You're tired. You're beat. God does never gets tired. His watchful eye is on his people. And the singer realizes that we are very vulnerable. And we're very tired sometimes. And we just seem like we just can't, you know, go another inch. And it seems like, I saw a cartoon the other day that said this mother was taking vitamins. And a little boy says, "Hey, Mama, give me some." She said, "No, I need to eat to keep up with you." And a great cartoon, amen. We're vulnerable on all sides, aren't we? Wouldn't you say we're all vulnerable? We all have our, there's things that get at us really quickly. And he says, "The Lord is thy keeper." I love that. I need somebody to take care of me. I need a keeper. This morning I was running around and I had to do a briefing up at the sheriff's office today. And so I got my uniform on and Julie's fixing breakfast for Marcia and I'm heading out as fast as I could. And all of a sudden I caught something against a glimpse of my peripheral vision. I go like that. I don't know what Julie wants. And I learn, here's Marcia walking out the front door. And she said, "Hi." I said, "You come give me a kiss?" "Yeah." So I went over and gave her a kiss and convinced her that she needed to go back in the house. And I said, "Hey, Julie, you missing anybody?" Poor Julie, she's having a heart attack. You know, she's buying the big one, right, big farm right there, amen. And, yeah, we all need a keeper. We're all vulnerable. You parents of these children, these little babies, you're vulnerable, aren't you? Boy, you need a keeper. You're vulnerable for your wife. What can I do for her? How can I, you know, your health is declining a little bit, and you're vulnerable, and boy, you don't want your way to turn. That's why it says the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The right hand is the sword hand. The singer sees God taking up his stand on the king's right hand so that the right hand, his sword hand, might be encumbered and free to defend the king on all sides. He said, "Hey, that's who I want on my side." Hezekiah was going to need a defense like that once the Assyrian army was drawn up onto the city's wall. Our weakness is offset by God's strength. That's what we call faith. This is faith. How do I do this? I'm trying to explain that to Bib today. You know, there's certain things in life, it's called faith. And God wants us as Christians to go forward, not stop. Not go backward, but to go forward. The problems in our life have brought us to give us strength. Not to kill us, but to help us, enable us to do better and to trust God in things. That's what God wants to do in our life. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're soldiers of the cross. Things are going to come in your life that you say, "Well, it certainly didn't help me any." Well, it may not help you, but it'll help somebody that you're going to be able to help someday. The trouble, maybe some of you are having some trouble with your children. And your heart is broken. And it should be, of course. But you know what? You may be the salvation of another dead mom. that are going to go through some things, and you can put their arm around them, and you can empathize with them, not just sympathize, but you can empathize. Say, you know what? We went through this, and we gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We just gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was listening to Pensacola today, and I was really surprised. I heard Ben Everson talking on the phone, on the radio station. Well, Ben Everson grew up at Calvary Baptist Church in Midland, Michigan. And he is quite a singer, musician, and he's an evangelist. And he was telling about certain things. He said, when I was in ninth grade, I knew that my heart was getting cold to God. And I knew that I was finally coming to the place in my life that says, is this really real? And he started questioning his heart. And he said, my dad was the pianist at Calvary Baptist Church. And he said that the preacher gave the invitation. And he said he noticed that the music didn't start. And he looks, and his father was down on his knees weeping. And he said, I know. I knew who he was weeping for. That changed my life. That changed my life. And I thought, boy, Ben, that's a great story. He said, I don't know if my dad ever knew this, but he said, right there and then, I was not going to have my dad to worry about me, about my spiritual condition. And then he went away to Bible college, and boys, he's quite a guy. I think we had him here once. I'm going to have him here back again, but he gave a great testimony today on the radio. Our weakness is offset by God's strength. He deliberately takes up a position from which he can defend us, no matter which quarter is attacked. And we know, and you never know when the attack is going to come. We never know that. We may wake up, everything's going great, and my mom used to sing a song. In the morning, she used to sing, oh, what a beautiful morning, oh, what a beautiful day, feeling everything going my way. She used to sing that in the morning. I remember singing it, you know. And I've had mornings like that, and then somebody unloads a dumpster on me, you know, or something falls apart, or something burns up, or something fails, or something goes wrong, you know, or your flat tire, you name it, it's going to happen. Amen. Hey, you know, we never know when it's going to come. Hey, everything's going good. Pregnancy is fine. All of a sudden, boy, we got problems. Whoa. That's not, you know, like Amanda today. Good night. You know, they got the baby. Now she's not feeling well. All of a sudden, smack dab, she's in the hospital. We don't understand that stuff. Do we? But remember that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We never know where the attack is coming from. Sometimes it's from our families. Sometimes a mother or a mother-in-law can call up and completely disarray your family. Sometimes it's a father or a father-in-law. Sometimes it's a husband. Sometimes it's a wife. Sometimes it's a teenager. Sometimes it's a child. Sometimes the enemy attacks along the line of our weakness. That's why the writer of the scripture said that we ought to be careful about the things that we are so susceptible about. Watch out for the troubles that so easy beset us. Sometimes the attack is at the point of our strength. We've never had a problem with that. And all of a sudden, got us. Elijah's strong point was courage, yet he fled. He fled from Jezebel. Remember that? Man, he just killed 450 prophets with his own knife. Slew them. Then that loudmouthed old Jezebel, she says, I'm going to get you. And he took off running. Moses' strong point was his weakness. And then he lost his temper at the rock. And he lost his opportunity to go in the Holy Land. So we as Christians, I know it's pretty quiet in here. You're thinking, aren't you? We as Christians, there are certain things in our life that we kind of get a little prideful and say, well, I've never done that. Well, when you say never, I always say, don't ever say never. It gets you. And that's when you have to humble yourself before God and other people and say, you know what, I did, and I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And God gets you back into the place and gets you away from that pride. Abraham's strong point was faith. Yet when he went down to Egypt, he said, this is my sister. Would you say that Abraham had great faith? Yes! Holy, wow! Omar said, holy moly, I don't know what that means. Don't tell me what it means, all right? I don't want to know. All right. Abraham's strong point, yet he had unbelief. Because we are so, what? Vulnerable. Are you vulnerable? Yeah. We need the Lord to stand at the right hand, and his right hand is outstretched to defend us no matter what quarter of offensive may come. Understand that. This walk in life, God says it's by faith, not by sight. And life can get pretty crazy sometimes. Secondly, we are also vulnerable at all seasons. Look at what the Bible said. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Sunstroke was very common and dangerous in the east, over there in Israel. Very common. Very hot. I had a friend of mine, his wife, for their wedding honeymoon, they went on an archaeological dig in Jerusalem. Okay, I don't understand, but anyway. So they went. And they said that they hardly ever had to go to the bathroom. They just sweated it out. Some of you guys over in the desert, storm and things like that, you understand what that means. So it's the most incredible thing. But she said, we had to continue to keep ourselves hydrated or we'd have really been in trouble. Sunstroke is most common, dangers in these. And then, so it talks about the sun shall not smite thee the day nor the moon by night. Moonstroke is also thought to be injurious. How many got to see the eclipse? Oh, my goodness. I called my son in South Carolina. He said, it's raining. I said, you know, you can't watch that for 30 years. 30, I think it's 30 or 33 years. You'll never see it like that again. Until you'll have to hang around. 2000, and I forget what it was. But anyway, Sunday night, of course, I preached long Sunday night. Walked out, and it was just starting. Just starting. And then we went over to eat, came out, and it's half. And so I went home and I watched it turn blood red. That was an amazing thing. And I took a picture and it looked like somebody made a period on the paper, you know. I was so excited. Oh, this is beautiful. And it looked so huge in it. Oh, well. So I took a bunch of pictures that people put on the Facebook, and I just took them off there. Amen. So I got one that's over. It's over Israel, over Jerusalem, the Dome of the Rock, and that's pretty cool. Amen. Well, the name given to disorder of people in the centuries was the word lunatic, from the Latin luna, which means moon. I remember a boy. My dad said, "Well, they're going to send him to the lunatic asylum." Because he's irrational during the full moon. So, I don't know. Some people act kind of crazy during the full moon. And I saw Mrs. Hobbs out there howling like a wolf. So, I don't know. The point of the above observation by the psalmist, of course, is that we're all vulnerable to all seasons. But God is able to keep us day by day, night by night. Settle down. Relax. God is going to take care of you. It's going to be okay. And what's wrong with heaven? It makes no difference to him to take care of the problem of weakness. Then he says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Technically, the word evil here literally means something wicked or injurious. It comes from the root significating the breaking up of all the good and is used especially for moral depravity. And I'll tell you what, we certainly have that today. The Greek equivalent was poneros, where we get the word pornography from, the English word. The ancient Assyrians were embodied by this. They were filthy, filthy, wicked, immoral people. Their monuments and their inscriptions that the archaeological people have found, archaeologists have found, they glory cruelty and wickedness, gloating over the terrible things they did to other people. That's what these people were. No instrument of policy too vile for their furthering their goal to become the great nation. Hezekiah was faced by absolutely unscrupulous power, which was retained by no moral principle. There was no Geneva Convention to constrain it. They would use anything that came to hand to further their ambition that they were going to be the world leaders. And these people were at the doorsteps of Jerusalem. What do you think that king felt like? It is he that has to make the decision. It's not the people, it's the king. The verse speaks to our heart, and we carry around within us a slumbering volcano. We're all capable of terrible sins. The flesh is utterly depraved. Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. How can we hope to overcome? The answer lies in the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Amen. The New Testament, whenever the flesh is mentioned, so is the Spirit. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Sounds like a battle that's going on all the time. Is the battle going on? Is battle going on in your life? Absolutely. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, the works of the flesh are. And then the fruit of the Spirit is. My Spirit shall not always strive with man, God said, for that he also is flesh. Genesis 6:3. When the flesh rises to overthrow us, the Holy Spirit rises as a standard against in our hearts. Thus we can borrow the language of this singer of old to say, the Lord will preserve me from all evil. He will preserve my soul. I tell you what, today, the way things are, we need something preserving us. I tell you, it's wicked, 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 wicked out there. They make mockery of the things that are good. They laugh at things that are bad. They honor people that, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been watching these congressional hearings on the abortion issue and Planned Parenthood. It just makes me want to vomit. It just cringes me. It breaks my heart to think of what they're doing to you. I had just watched a documentary on World War II and what the Germans did to 6 million Jews. There's no difference. We're as pagan as they are, and we're paying for it. This is part of our salvation, not only deliverance from the penalty of sin, but also deliverance from the power of sin. Get that now. I don't want you to miss this. When I got saved. I got saved, which delivered me from the penalty of sin. Sin kept me from heaven. For the wages of sin is death. But when I invited Jesus Christ to come in your heart, he took that penalty away and he said, I paid for it. It's paid. Secondly, though, a lot of people don't understand this. He also delivers us from the power of sin. I can walk with Jesus if I get the shield out and I get the helmet of salvation and I get the, you know, on and on and on. Stand and therefore stand. Paul didn't put those in the Bible just to make memory verses. Paul put them in the Bible. We live by that thing, and we'd be very careful. And that shield of faith, stop those fiery darts of the devil. Shield of what? Faith. Why do I get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I gotta have the Word of God constantly. Oh boy, I get so anemic when I don't read the Word of God. So anemic. Now, last, the Lord takes care of. He says this. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I love those evermores. David said, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John says over in John 5:13, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life. Boy, I like those evermores, amen. And here we go. There could be no going out and coming in, but that was only a temporary imprisonment. Soon, very soon, God would smite the Syrian army, and the gates of Jerusalem would be opened wide again so that the king could come and go as he pleased. What a wonderful day that must have been, huh? I mean, God just put a whoop to those Syrians, man. Huh? And they got to do it. Hezekiah, my goodness, you read the stories about what he did. He made aqueducts. He ran water all the way from the Mediterranean Sea all the way to Jerusalem. How they did it, I don't know, because everything is uphill. My wife and I were there, and you still see some of those aqueducts that Hezekiah built. Hezekiah built a great big underneath the city of Jerusalem and had water there. Just on and on. Oh, amazing thing Hezekiah did. He made war machines. There's nobody like him. The verse, however, goes far beyond that. Under Mosaic law, it was incumbent on the devout Jews to inscribe verses on the Mosaic laws and gates. Thus, each time that they went out, he took with him the Word of God. That word was kept him alert on all these journeys, business, dealings, and contracts with others. He was a member of the family of God, and he must conduct himself as such. Upon his return, as he passed his gate again, he once more would be reminded of the relationship of the Lord. He could review his activities since last he passed the gate and had been true to the Word of God. If you go to Jerusalem or any Jewish people's home, you will see up in a corner by their door, there's a little, how many have ever seen one of these? A little, covered. Anyway, when you leave the house, you have to touch that. Well, inside is memory verses in it. And so you're actually touching the Word of God as you go out. You watch them. Unfortunately, a lot of them use it for superstition. But there are some that really believe in it. And I know a lot of Christians have done that. The Bible talks about how that you're supposed to put the Word of God on the doorpost of your heart, your house, and on the gate, and on it. And they would touch that, literally touch that. And on the way back into home, he would remind it again that he must conduct himself. Devout Jews to this day keep a small metal cylinder fixed on the right-hand doorpost of their homes. The cylinder contains this, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk about them when thou sittest down the home, when sittest down in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be in the frontlets of their eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on their gates. That's Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 to 21. Probably be a good idea we did that ourselves. And when they passed out of that house, they touch that cylinder and they recite Psalm 121. And as they went, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Boy, what a change it would be in our family's home, instead of yelling and screaming and honking the horn, that we would quote scripture as we lead the home. I was telling our men, I had the privilege of teaching our men Sunday school Sunday morning. I was teaching them how I used to raise my boys and how I would always comment when we were out doing something. I said, boy, isn't God good? Man, your daddy's a preacher. Look at all the things we get to do. We get to go out fishing and hunting, and you get to go with me. I used to take those guys soul winning with me, take them to my boys. If there's anything that you make kids weird, they always say, oh, don't take your child to a funeral. If that's true, my boys should be in the loony bin. I don't know how many funerals they went to. How many they did. Just go with us, you know. Mom would play the piano, and I'd sing, and I'd preach, and we'd bury them, amen. I mean, we were a one-man show, amen, and did it for years. And but I was always with them. But I was always reminding them, isn't God good? Always reminding them. I was always reminding them to be willing to help the poor. When somebody's in need, help them. By the way, if you know of anybody that has an old car that you're not using, we need an old car. Somebody somewhere in church needs an old car, just something that it'll run. Gas and oil. If you know anybody's got one, we'd sure like to need to help somebody on that. So it will keep us honest in our business if we keep the Word of God before our hearts. And it will keep us mindful of the one to whom our safety belongs to, and it will garrison around us that we might be preserved for many a wrong step of life. There have been so many times in my life that I was about ready to do something, especially when I was a teenager, and something got in my way. I would never have been able to be a pastor if God wouldn't have. You know, that's like Pharaoh who had Sarah. He said, I didn't touch her. God says, because I didn't let you. There's certain things in your life. You're not that big guy. You're not that cool of a guy. You're not that strong guy to keep from doing stuff. But God steps in the way and gets in your way, and you can't go past it. It's kind of like the man with his donkey, amen. And the guy starts whooping his donkey. Oh, Balaam. Yep, been on that donkey many times. All right, let's stand and be dismissed. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us and caring for us. We thank you for watching over us, Lord. You know our needs, and they're great. Would you please, Lord God, help us? I think of this person that needs that vehicle. They don't need a good one. They just need one that will run down the road. Would you please help us to show us, direct us someplace so we can find that? Lord, I pray for Viv tonight. I pray that, God, you'd bless her. And, Lord God, I pray that the paperwork would be done, that she could be taken care of. And, dear God, thank you for our people who are so giving. God, I know that you've spoiled us so many times because of we gave, and then, Lord God, you just poured on us. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, bless us now. Help us as we go to our separate homes. Keep us safe. And all God's people said, and you're dismissed.